Welcome to the Cleveland Public Library's Sports Research Center and our conversation with St. Edward High School wrestling coach Greg Urbas. Greg became head wrestling coach at St. Ed's in November 1989 upon the sudden death of Howard Ferguson from a heart attack. Talk about big shoes to fill. Ferguson had just coached the Eagles to 10 straight state championships. The greatest reign in Ohio high school wrestling history up to that point. Urbas had to grow big feet, and he did. By the year 2013, Greg's teams had won 18 team state championships in 24 years. His Eagles also won 4 national championships. His list of individual state championship wrestlers is unprecedented, including 2 4-time state titlists. We sat down with Greg on July 25th, 2013, shortly after he had completed his 24th season and was planning for his 25th.
Good to go.
Welcome, everybody. We're joined by Greg Urbas, head wrestling coach at St. Edward High School, where a dynasty has grown up around the sport of wrestling at St. Ed's. Let me throw a couple numbers at you to refresh your memory, Greg. I know you can't even keep track of these numbers, but St. Ed's High School has won 29 state championships as a team. The last 18 have come under your auspices. 11 national championship teams, the last 5 you coached. At one time, St. Ed's won dual meets, 82 straight dual meets from 1977 to 1988, and that was under your predecessor, Howard Ferguson. We'll get to him in a second. In the year 2011, you were inducted into the Ohio Wrestling Coaches Hall of Fame, where to put this time frame in context for all of our viewers and listeners, we're talking to Greg in the summer of 2013. We have much to talk about. Greg Urbas was a sergeant in the Marines. He was in the Marine Corps from 1973 to 1977. You yourself grew up at St. Joe's High School, and after the Marines and after, what was your sport? Were you a football or a wrestling guy or what?
Well, first of all, I was a lieutenant in the Marines.
Oh, a lieutenant.
I wasn't cool enough to be a sergeant.
Yeah, but they call you Sarge. Yeah, that's what threw me.
Coach Ferguson did, yeah. Yeah, I don't think he knew the difference.
Okay.
Did you go to
ROTC or something?
There was a PLC program in
college.
I
remember that, yes. Yeah, Platoon Leaders Corps, yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's what I did.
And so you did that. And at what college did you do that?
Grove City College.
Grove City?
I went to St. Joe's from 65 to 69.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated from there and went to Grove City College. It's in western Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Right off of Route 79, about halfway between Erie and Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I played football there from 69 to 73.
Uh-huh. What position were you in football?
Center.
Okay.
The slowest position.
How? Well, and then you get out of the Marines.
Right.
And St. Ed's gave you your first job.
No.
Right? No?
I taught 1 year in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you did?
When I got out, in March 15th of 77, and got a job at South Hills Catholic in Pittsburgh. It's now Seton La Salle. And I taught there 1 year, and I wanted to coach football as well, but they said, no, this is your first year back into the swing of things in school. So they said, what about being an assistant coach for wrestling? I said, well, I was terrible at St. Joe's. I only wrestled a year and a half. I was terrible under John Story. And so I just played ball 4 years at St. Joe's and then 4 years in college.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I said, well, I was terrible. And they said, well, we want you to meet the head coach there. So I went to the head coach and said, well, I wasn't very good. He said, so what? You'll learn. He said, I need somebody to help me. Mm-hmm. So I was assistant coach there in Pittsburgh at South Hills Catholic. And then after that, the last 35 years at St. Ed's.
How did you then move from South Hills Catholic in Pittsburgh to St. Ed's?
Well, I wanted to get back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
And there's a job opportunity at Cathedral Latin and St. Ed's. And it just so happened the head of religion department was Mark Tishar, who I played football with at St. Joe's. We were in the same offensive line together at St. Joe's. And he told me that St. Ed's was just like St. Joe's, a lot more Irishmen.
And they were both all boys, both huge all boys schools at the time. So you began as an assistant football coach at St. Ed's,
right?
And then were you an assistant? Then you became an assistant wrestling coach,
right? Under what happened was I got a job interview with Gary Hitzman. He was head of the math department, and he spent 45 years at St. Ed's. And he hired me for, and he and Brother Tom Henning hired me to teach math. And immediately, Howard Ferguson gave me a call. Yeah. And he said, hey, understand that you just signed up. Mm-hmm. We had never met. He said, would you be interested in coaching freshman football? I said, sure. He says, what about freshman wrestling? I said, well, I was terrible. He said, well, so was I at Marsh. He said, we'll learn together. So that's how it went.
Okay, now there's Howard Ferguson, a very interesting man.
Yes.
He was at the time, in addition to the wrestling coach, he had become the athletic director as well.
Right.
And this wasn't even his full-time job.
Right.
He was a millionaire real estate tycoon on the west side of Cleveland. But he was an obsessive about wrestling.
Yes.
He began by coaching a YMCA wrestling program in Westlake, West Shore YMCA
West Shore
or something, where he began turning out great wrestlers. He was an inspirational guy. Would you tell me about him?
Yes. He was type AAA. He was go, go, go. He was self-depreciating. You know, he'd laugh at himself in a heartbeat,
really?
But he was very demanding. He loved working with the kids, loved it. And you could see when he would come into the room, it seemed like 1,000 pounds was off his back from the
really?
Work world. Yeah, from his business. He totally enjoyed being in the room. He was totally at home with the kids. He enjoyed watching young people pursue excellence because he did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he asked them to strive. He wanted them to be a great student athlete. He always put academics first, always.
Now, isn't it funny, the history of St. Ed's wrestling, it started in 1969 under a first wrestling coach.
59.
I mean 59.
Yep.
Joe Figler, 1959.
Figler, yes.
And he was quoted as saying he started the wrestling program in 1959. He was also a football coach. It was a good conditioner for wrestler for football players.
Yes.
And in 1971, 2 years later, St. Ed's qualified a wrestler for the state wrestling tournament for the first time, 1971. And Ferguson, along in the 70s, became the head wrestling coach. And by 1977, St. Ed's moved up from, by the way, with that one wrestler, 4 points, St. Ed's as a team finished 54th in the state in 1971. By 1977, St. Ed's had moved up to 8th place. 1978, under Howard Ferguson, St. Ed's won the state wrestling championship. And he went on to win 10 straight state championships from 1978 until through 1987.
Great.
10 straight.
Yeah.
Now, St. Ed's at that point had established itself as the successor to Maple Heights, as the most dominant state wrestling power. Maple Heights, I don't know if you ever knew Mike Milkovich. He was the wrestling coach at Maple Heights. He was so far ahead of your time. I don't know if you never crossed paths with him, did
right.
you? Okay. No. Well, he won at one point in the starting in the late 50s and 60s and into the 70s, he won 10 straight state championships. He was remembered as the man in the red shirt. And here, as I speak, in the summer of 2013, Mike Milkovich is still alive. Down in the Florida Keys, very old. But and that was when you talked about high school wrestling back in those days, it was Maple Heights. And so now there was a new sheriff in town. Here were the St. Ed Eagles under Howard Ferguson, the self-made millionaire. And in 1989, in December of 1989, he suffered out of the blue a heart attack and died. And that's shocking. He was only 51 years old.
Right.
Now, you were thrust into the head coach's chair. That was, how did you handle that?
Well, a couple things. First, the first placer at St. Ed's was in 59, Bob Livingston.
Oh.
So Joe Figler had quite a few placers before he turned the reins over to Coach Ferguson. It was October of 89 when Coach Ferguson passed away. I'll never forget that phone call. I got a phone call from brother Dennis Bednarz.
Oh.
It was a Sunday. And he called me at home, and he said he had terrible news that Coach Ferguson passed away. And I got all ticked off and said, well, where's he at? Where's he at? And he didn't know. And I said, well, how do you know this really happened? And he said, well, I got a phone call. I said, well, who called you? He didn't know.
Really?
And I was wondering, could this have been a cruel joke? And I called. So I got my volume went up questioning him. Because I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
And then when they hung up, immediately I started calling different hospitals.
Really?
To see if
really?
Howard was there. Finally, I finally figured out in my head after calling three different hospitals that, geez, I remembered that he was doing an opening of an apartment building. He was turning into a condo down around the Independence area. So I called Marymount Hospital. And Mrs. Silvestro happened to pick up the phone because I had asked, is there any relatives there from Howard Ferguson? Well, no one was saying anything, but Mrs. Silvestro, Joey's mom, answered
her. Joe Silvestro was a wrestler.
Yes.
And what was she doing there?
She was a secretary.
Oh, she worked at...
Yeah.
Oh.
So he had been at an opening trying to sell, you know, a picnic for the people that lived at this condo or this apartment complex that was turning into a condo. And he died there at the picnic. That's what I found out. So speaking to her, I was shocked. We were all shocked. And it was just a real blow. And that's what happened. And then after the funeral, we had a big meeting about what should we do, because season's coming up, you know, and in a couple of weeks practice was going to start. So we had a big meeting with the returning coaches and with some of the other fellows, some of the alumni, and that's the decision that was made. And I questioned the decision. I said, how can this be? Because all these other coaches were great wrestlers.
Really?
They said, take care of the kids, take care of the parents.
Really?
They said, we'll do the coaching.
Really?
It was like that. Yeah, so, and that's what happened. That's what happened. So, as Coach Ferguson relied a ton on his assistants, he always said, surround yourself with great people.
Uh-huh.
We had tremendous guys that had wrestled at St. Ed's and wrestled in college, and they did the teaching, they did the coaching. I took care of the administrative duties and kind of barked at kids sometimes, pat them on the back at other times, but they're the reason that that we're so successful.
Okay, now the wrestling room. There you've got, I've personally seen it, you'll usually have 60 wrestlers in that wrestling room at any one time. All serious wrestlers, not all can be first string.
Right.
But they're all working diligently. And not only do you have 60 wrestlers of various weight groups, but you seem to have almost a former state champion on almost every weight in there working with them. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I don't know, but that's what it looks like. These kids are learning from the best. Have I summarized accurately your weight room? Your wrestling room?
Yeah, pretty much. We don't have all those state champ coaches, but we do have a number of them, and the kids learn from them. The coaches that we have wrestled in college and got unbelievable credentials behind them from what they've done in high school, what they've done in college. And the pretty neat thing is they're there to make the kids better. It's not about themselves. It's about the kids. It's about the kids' turn now. It's their turn. It's high school. It's their career. And they're all working to try to get the young man better.
You've mentioned Coach Heffernan. He's what about him?
He's unbelievable.
John Heffernan.
John
correct?
Heffernan, yes. So my first year at St. Ed's was 78-79 school year. And I had just missed the first state championship. I came in a year after, so I missed Brian Heffernan winning it. So I was there for every other state champ. I was at school. I was privileged to be there. Jimmy, his brother, Brian had just graduated before I got there. I got there 3 months after he graduated. Jimmy was a freshman, 78-79 school year. He was a freshman. He and Alinsky and Sylvester and Savetic, great wrestlers for St. Ed's. And they, and I was a first-year coach there, and I coached freshmen. I did not coach those guys. Those fellows wrestled JV their first year at St. Ed's. But so I knew the Heffernan family. I got to meet them. It was a privilege to meet them. And I met John. And John came around 1980. He started school in 80 and graduated in 84. So I was his freshman coach. John went on to place at the state, win it his senior year, went on to Iowa.
He was a heavyweight.
No,
correct?
Brian was. Brian, the first Heffernan, was state champ heavyweight. First heavyweight out of our 102 state champs. He was the first state champ in St. Ed's history. Jimmy won two. He graduated in 82, and John won his in 1984. Then John went on to Iowa, just like Jim, and wrestled there. Two-time All-American.
Really?
Also won the Most Courageous Athlete Award from Iowa Wrestling his senior year. There's a big story on this. I don't know the whole story, but what I know is pretty amazing. What he did, how he competed, being pretty banged up.
Really?
He was captain of his senior team at Iowa. 2 years later, he coached a year at the Hawkeye Club in Iowa City, Iowa, with Iowa. They have a special club on the side. Then he coached a year at Miami of Ohio. Then we were able to get him 2 years later. So so we've been together now since 1991.
Now, in real life, is he a fireman or a player or what? I know his brother is a policeman.
Yeah, his brother, Brian, is a commander in the Cleveland Police Department. And John is a fireman. Yeah.
And so he's been with you. He's very important to the program. Isn't
he? He's unbelievable. I have described him as the heart and soul of St. Edward Wrestling. Really? Oh, he is. He is the main reason for our kids' success. Now, we've got a lot of coaches. A lot of coaches have had influence on the kids. But John is amazing. He's amazing in a room as a teacher. He's amazing in a room with his attitude toward the sport. Very, very stoic. Very tough mentally. Very, very tough mentally. And he's got a great common sense. He's got like the pulse of the team. He knows when to crank it up. He knows when to bring it back, the intensity in the room, or to lengthen a practice or to shorten a practice, when they need this, when they need that. It's incredible. It's a joy to watch him coach. He's very, very special to St. Edward High School.
And he usually sits in the chair in the corner during their matches.
Yep.
I mean, he's the coach on the chair.
That's, yes. Sure. You want the best out there, and he's the best.
And you're the general manager.
Basically.
You put together a heck of a team. Now, you are suddenly thrust into the job as head wrestling coach. And which is already a dynasty going, and you have to keep it going. And I notice that St. Ed's has won 29, you had 29 state championship teams, the last 18 under you. It does not include the team dual meet title in 2013.
It.
Oh, it does,
yes.
The 20?
Yes.
The 20, you're 18, okay. And 11 St. Ed teams have been national champion. Five of those 11 were your teams, national championship teams. How do they determine a national championship in wrestling?
Well,
high school wrestling.
Yeah, we went off of Amateur Wrestling News and their rankings of the team. One thing that
That's the Bible of high school wrestling.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And the name of this publication is
Amateur Wrestling News.
Okay.
Besides them, Wynn Magazine ranks as well.
Okay. Now, do they cover things other than high school? Do they cover the colleges?
Yes.
They cover
yes.
wrestling.
Yes, they do. One of the ways we got the votes in their.
And so this is a vote, voting.
Well, they would rank teams week to week to week or every other week, and it's because of the schedule. Ferg always was big on putting the kids through a very tough schedule.
Ferg meaning Howard
Coach Ferguson.
Yes.
To make it easier for our kids to concentrate and practice. If they knew that they were going to wrestle North Allegheny from Pittsburgh.
That was a big school.
Sure. And Lawton, Oklahoma, or it was, let's see, which Oklahoma, it wasn't Dell City, Midwest City, Oklahoma, that the Heffernans and Joe Silvestro and Savetic wrestled against. I mean, these teams were nationally known because of who they turned out and their success on the college ranks. But Ferg put together the Quad of Champs. He wanted to bring in three state champion teams for a tremendous quad on a Saturday. I have four state championship teams get after it, three duels each.
Yes.
And he always explained to us that the reason he would do it, it's exciting for the sport, but it would really focus the kids. There's a goal there. They couldn't just slip-slide in a room during their drill going live. They had some teams that wanted to wrestle them pretty bad, and who was going to outwork who.
Uh-huh.
So he put the challenge to the kids with that very, very, very rigorous schedule. Mm-hmm. And we've been trying to do that ever since.
Really?
Every year we try to really focus our kids on some very, very key matches, opponents, whether they're tournaments or whether they're quads or whether they're a duel, that would really inspire the kids to work hard, because you don't even have to raise your voice at practice. They know what's coming at the end of the week.
And they all come into the St. Ed's gym for this.
Well, we'll go there. Or, for instance, we have a home and away with St. Paris Graham. We'll have a home and away with Blair Academy. So we do some traveling.
Those are dual meets with those two schools.
At Blair, it's going to be a quad.
Okay.
But St. Paris Graham only wants a duel, so that's what we do with them.
And now when you go to this, you put these quads together, teams travel. You get supposedly the four best in the country together. This is sort of an expensive thing, travel and things like that.
Right.
Who covers the expenses?
Fundraisers. Sometimes we'll have a night at the races or a reverse raffle or stuff like that to help raise funds to go.
And you have to help these other teams come in.
Yes. For instance, for Blair, we'll pick up their rooms, their hotel rooms, and when we go there, they'll pick up our hotel rooms to kind of keep the budget kind of steady.
Yes. Blair Academy, by the way, that's in New Jersey, I believe.
New Jersey. Blairstown, New Jersey.
And what kind of a school is that? Is that a prep school or what?
Prep school, 450 kids, boys and girls co-ed. They've got a golf course on campus.
They do? No.
Average class size, I think, is anywhere from 8 to 13 kids in a class. And I'm not positive on tuition. I think it's like 32 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, because most of the kids live there at school.
And how do they get, by the way, do they have a fifth-year seniors on
Yes,
their
but
teams?
We don't, yes, but they're not on the high school team.
They're not.
They will wrestle against, like, the JVs from different colleges.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how do they get so good? Do these great wrestlers just happen to take up the sport when they're there? But you have to have sort of an exclusive clientele. If tuition is $32,000 a year, all of these wrestlers are paying that? That's hard to believe.
Well, I'm sure there's financial aid involved because that is a, you know, it's like going to college for your high school years. So I'm sure that's going on. I spoke to their former head coach, and financially, that's one big thing. The other thing is he actively recruits those kids. They're not in the New Jersey High School Association.
Oh, they're not.
They're in a prep school. They do not participate in state championship there.
Oh, really?
They go to the national preps. So they don't have the rules of the athletic association binding on them. So they can do just about what they want to do. And they get some great, great wrestlers from different states to come there. It's pretty neat.
Wow. Essentially, they're giving these kids scholarships. Would that
financial aid?
Well, you call it financial aid.
I would think.
And when I guess that almost everybody would qualify for financial aid, because who can afford $32,000 a year? So that means they qualify.
I don't know. All I know is it's a heck of a challenge to go against them. They coach the heck out of them.
Really?
They're tough kids.
And these kids all live there on campus in dorms.
Yep.
Wow.
And they're huge on off-season wrestling as well. You'll see them at regional tournaments all the time. You'll see them at the FILA cadets. And these guys are coaching up a storm. I've seen, I mean, they just don't show up and wrestle. They prepare a heck of a lot in the off-season, and they earn it. I mean, they get great talent, but they also coach. They really are outstanding coaches as well.
And then, like the St. Ed wrestlers, do they ever run up against each other in colleges? In college, wrestle against each other in like the NCAAs?
Kids,
do they meet again?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Our wrestlers that are in the NCAAs, they get to the NCAAs, they'll run across the kids from Blair,
And how about St. Paris Graham? What's their magic? They're also in this elite class now.
Yes, they are.
And that's a team from Southern Ohio. That's a team just west of Columbus. Yes.
Well, he has his job, Jeff Jordan. Jim and Jeff Jordan both were four-time state champs for St. Paris Graham.
Yeah.
His job is to run wrestling camps. He runs them all summer. He runs them during the rest of the school year, like on Saturdays.
That's his real job.
That's his job, yes. Running wrestling camps, yes. There are some kids that are so impressed, and some parents, that from out of state they'll move there to wrestle for them because they see the program they may have at their state, their high school, and they choose to move and be coached by him.
That actually, the city is St. Paris, and Graham is the name of the high school there.
Right. Graham High School in St. Paris, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. So now, let me update a couple other numbers that to this point, St. Ed's has turned out, I have 105 individual state champions.
102, okay. Yep.
Does that include those who were 2 and 3 times?
Yes.
Okay.
That includes those that were multiple winners.
And you've turned out wrestlers who became All-Americans in college, 52 of them.
57 of them.
57
now.
Of them
57.
Now.
57.
We have to continually update the the stats. Okay. You won state. Now Howard Ferguson won 10 state championships in a row in one stretch. Maple Heights also won 10 in a row. You have now won 13 in a row, according to my calculations, which aren't always correct, but they are this time, right?
They are this time.
You've won 13 state champions, turned out 13 state championship teams in a row. And now this game was interrupted in 2011, I believe, by Wadsworth.
Wadsworth.
And now you've started another streak, 2012 and 2013, off on another run. Occasionally, a team will come along and have their one great year, as Wadsworth seemed to do. But they do have a pretty good program going, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So you always have to keep looking over your shoulder because somebody is always trying to come up behind you, challenging you. What's the charm of high school wrestling?
Well, it is that, because this year there's three high schools that are really loaded for bear this year that have way more returning state qualifiers and places than we do. So
really?
Oh, yes.
In Division One?
Yes.
More returnees?
Right. Maslin Perry, Brecksville, and Cincinnati Moeller.
Uh-huh.
So we have our hands full competing with these fellas, and I'm sure our guys will compete real well. We've got a lot of talent. Now we got to get the most out of them. We got to teach them, coach them. The kids got to progress and get ready to compete in March.
Maslin Perry, of course, we've been familiar with them for many years.
Yes.
Moeller also, it's an all-boys school, roughly about the same size as St. Ed's.
Yes.
They seem to have, in many ways, the same mentality. Tough kids, yes. They've got... this is interesting about some of those all-boys Catholic high schools in Cincinnati. They've got four of these big Division I high schools in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And here we've only got two here in the Cleveland area, St. Ed's and St. Ignatius. I don't know what the difference is between the cities. Really, they're a lot alike, I think, probably. But Moeller, they've been, in recent years, they've been the Cincinnati wrestling power, haven't they?
Yes, yes. They are going to have, they may bring the whole team to state.
Really?
They are. This is their year.
Whoa.
That we've seen since freshman year.
Really?
We knew that they were loaded from their junior high program.
Really?
They are loaded. And I would think that most of these kids will qualify for state.
Do you know how they put this team together?
They've got a
recruiting bounty that year?
No, I don't. I do know that at the grade school state tournament, junior high state tournament, I have seen their grade school program, their
really?
Coaches coaching up
really?
A storm there at the different tournaments.
Uh-huh.
So they were actively really working hard with the kids in grade school, and they were able to keep a lot of them.
And
together.
They all went to Moeller.
I don't know if all of them did, but quite a few of them did.
Uh-huh.
So, yep.
So this is going to be, as we speak here in the summer of 2013, we're looking forward to a very exciting wrestling season winter.
It's going to be something, yes.
And at this point, and of course, by the time you at home are viewing this on the Cleveland Public Library website, this all may be resolved by then. Who knows in the future years when you're viewing this. But you'll probably know whether the St. Edward dynasty has continued and survived these challenges from Moeller and Maslin Perry, right?
Sure.
And Brecksville. Brecksville has returned to power after 30, 40 years ago, more than that, 50 years ago. Brecksville was a wrestling power. They started the first big high school Christmas holiday tournament. Under Coach Sustersick, I believe, was that he put it. Well, anyway, regardless. I'm treading into areas that I'm relying on memory, and that's not going to help us. Anyway, nice to see them back in contention. But you're probably pretty deep, though, when you say that they have more returning state place winners. You probably had on your bench kids who couldn't start would have been state place winners, and they're returning, except the kids ahead of them were so good that they couldn't get into the regular lineup. But anyway, we shall see. Tell me about your philosophy about wrestling, winning and losing, things like that, would you, Greg? Well, by the way, we're talking to Greg Urbis, the head wrestling coach at St. Edward High School.
Well, our philosophy, I know that Coach Ferguson based his on well, let's go back to Coach Figler.
Mm.
I didn't see him coach. I taught with him for about 20 years. Speaking to the old timers that wrestled for him, he was just rough and tough, and they loved him. They loved the guy. I mean, he's a former paratrooper, Army paratrooper, and he's pretty rugged. And I spoke to a person that played ball with him at Western Reserve University. He was a rugged individual, a great guy. So the toughness, Coach Figler. Coach Ferguson brought a lot of order and discipline on how we were going to do things. Goal setting was huge for him. He shot. Before I got there, I had heard that he had promised a state championship within 3 years when he got there.
Really?
And that was pretty bold.
Uh-huh.
But he put a goal in front of the kids. Hey, this is what we want to achieve, and let's go and let's work toward that goal. So he was big on goal setting and big on the off season preparation, lifting, and competing in the off season. Very, very big there. And we are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Heff worked beautifully during the season with him, also challenged him in the off season. Our kids, he took a group of 17 guys to go wrestle in the Disney Duels this summer,
uh-huh.
he and Coach Kazicki. So they competed not in the community division, but in the all-star division. So it's St. Ed wrestlers versus all-star teams from states.
Really?
Yes. And I think we went 4-4 this summer. Mm-hmm. But it's one high school versus an all-star team. Uh-huh. John's big on that because he said, hey, win or lose, just go out and give your best, and then we could see where you're at. Uh-huh. And you know, compete. And I've watched him compete in high school. I've watched him compete at the Junior Nationals when he was a senior. Uh-huh. I've watched the tape on him, unbelievable tape on him wrestling against a kid from Oklahoma State, number one man in the nation. And I watched him beat this guy. It's a fantastic match that I've watched of him. So he is big. The word is, it's not win, 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 but it's compete, 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 compete hard. Train hard, compete hard. When you step on the mat, he teaches, and he teaches all the kids, you gotta believe that you can win. Otherwise, why would you step on a mat? Put your foot on the line and wrestle to win. And it's really, really neat. It's a great – I think it takes pressure off the kids in certain ways about the mm-hmm. – if you don't win, they're not going to get scolded or anything else. They're going to get pointed out, okay, here's your weakness. This is what you need to work on. But we want kids to compete. They'll be – probably more pats on the back to a kid that goes out and competes against a great wrestler, comes up short, but gave us all. He'll get a lot of pat on the backs from our coaching staff compared to, say, a fellow that wins, that went against a young man that maybe doesn't have nearly the talent and didn't compete real hard in one anyway. He may get chastised for not competing hard.
Now, you're probably asked this question, and that is, that among the 102 individual state championships St. Ed's has produced, and you have been involved in the lives of, like, what, 100 of them, can you say who is the best?
I can't, no. I can't.
Can you make even a top 10? I happen to notice, by the way, that St. Ed's has turned out 4 NCAA champions: Jim Heffernan at Iowa in 1986, Greg Wright at Edinburgh State in Division II in 1986, Alan Freed at Oklahoma State Division I 1994, and Ryan Bertine at Michigan in 2003, and he repeated in 2005. Those are pretty good.
Yeah. They sure are. Yes.
They would be among the best wrestlers you've ever coached.
I would think so, yeah. I mean, Greg Olinsky, he was a four-time, he was the first four-time All-American in Penn State history in any sport.
Really?
Yes, and he was an alternate on the Olympic team in Barcelona. And then not on that list right there is Andy Rova.
Yes.
Who's our first Olympian.
Uh-huh.
So we've had some pretty good wrestlers.
Yes. And do you sense that are people out there rooting for you, or do they resent you?
Our fans are rooting for us.
Your fans are. You're like the New York Yankees, though. Everybody else comes out, they want to see you lose.
when it seems like the volume goes up if we're falling behind on points. Oh. I kind of hear the volume.
At the state tournament?
Oh, yes, I hear that.
Oh, tell me about that. Yes.
Yeah, I can hear that.
Really?
I remember when Joe Silvestro got beat his senior year after winning his junior year.
Really?
It was unbelievable. It was in St. John's Arena in 1982.
Yes.
The volume was deafening. And I was sitting way high in St. John's. I was a freshman coach. I was sitting with Brother Bennett Nettleton.
Really?
Way up in the crow's nest. And I couldn't believe the volume. I couldn't believe the explosion of noise and cheers for the young man that beat that Penn Joe.
Yes.
And I remember Joe, total class, getting up, shake the man's hand, walk off the mat.
Wow.
It was like, okay, that was it.
I'm glad you mentioned the noise and the roar and the fans in St. John Arena. Look at how high school wrestling has come along since the late 40s, when the first state championships were held up here in the Cleveland area, in the West High Gym, in the John Hay Gym, back then in the late 40s, and they could do it. The state tournament was held in front of, I don't know, maybe 300-400 people in the gyms up here,
sure,
in a couple of the small Senate gyms, and now we are in the huge Coliseum in Columbus on the campus of, what do they have, 15,000 down there?
Something like that, 15, 17.
And the roar is deafening.
It is,
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Who would have ever guessed back then?
Yeah. Well, you know, pretty neat going back to Coach Ferguson's time.
Yes.
He put together a heck of a staff. He got Mike Jr. to help him. And I think he had Mike Sr.
Milkovich,
yes,
Jr.?
Yes, for a year or two before I got there.
Oh, really?
Yes, to help show the secrets of Maple Wrestling, how
yes.
they drilled, why they drilled the way they did, how they competed, what they did
yes.
in live, etc.
Uh-huh.
And I think he hired Mike Sr. as a
really?
Consultant. Yes.
Really?
Yes. And he had Gary Ceresi from Maple.
Oh, yeah.
He coached with us.
Uh-huh.
That's before I got there. And so he got a playbook out of Maple.
Really?
And going back to that, what I understand is Coach Milkovich went to Oklahoma State in the summers and would learn from their great coaches.
Really?
Who were the epitome of college wrestling back
Are you
then.
Referring to the old man, Mike Milkovich, the man in the red shirt,
yes.
the original Maple Heights coach?
Yes. See, he out-hustled people. He went and,
wow.
and went and got clinics himself,
uh-huh.
learning what the best in the college level were doing. And he brought that back to Maple. Well, Coach Ferguson asked Coach Milkovich. And also, ever since I've got there, I mean, back in 78, 79, the summer of 78, he had a clinic going on. No, I missed that one, so I made the next one after my freshman year there, first year there. Coach Ferguson always brought in five tremendous coaches or wrestlers, one day at a time, for our one-week clinic that we would have for St. Ed's kids and for outside mm-hmm. individuals. Reason being, he would go to NCAAs, see who he liked, whether it was takedown ability or getting out on bottom or mm-hmm. turning people on top, and he would invite them to come over and give us a clinic. And not only would our kids learn, our coaches would learn what the newest technique was that worked on the college level. And we've done that for every year that I've been there.
Really?
We've had the college coaches and college wrestlers running our summer camp. It's unbelievable.
How many people come to your summer camp? Do wrestlers from other schools come?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We end up having about 80 in the morning, and we'll have the grade school kids about 60, 65
really?
In the afternoon. Yep.
And this runs for a week?
Yep.
Is it expensive?
No, very cheap.
What is it? What do we
well,
offer?
For this year, we charge $100 a quarter.
$125?
Yes.
For a week?
For a week, 9 to 12.
With the best wrestling instructors in the country?
Pretty amazing ones.
Wow.
I mean, this year we had an NCAA champ that coaches from Iowa that coaches at Edinburgh. He did one day. Cliff Moore. Another day we had another Moore, not related,
really?
From Kent State, who was runner-up for Penn State when he was wrestling. He coaches at Kent State. Next one is the new head coach at Clarion. He was three-time All-American from Lehigh, Troy Letters, mm-hmm. and he was also a national yeah. champ. Then we had David Bulliard mm-hmm. from Akron Springfield and wrestled at Central Michigan.
Okay.
He's assistant coach at Eastern. And then we had Colt Sponseller, who's a three-time state champ from Ohio, that wrestled at Ohio State University, and he's coaching at Edinburgh. Those are the fellows that came into.
And they would take a specialty and work on that all
yes.
day?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. So a great, great, great camp.
Uh-huh. And this has been going on since Howard Ferguson's days?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
That goes back to the 70s.
Yes. Yep. Learn from the best. That's what
okay.
That's what he'd always say. We'll go to the best, find out how they do it, and try to imitate it.
Well, you mean a lot to St. Ed's. They must pay you a king's ransom to do this.
Well, I get to eat in the calf. I get charged there, but
they charge you.
No, St. Edward means the world to me.
Yes.
It's not me to them. It's St. Edward means the world to me. And I'm blessed coaching freshman football and coaching wrestling. Just to watch these young people grow, being challenged, pushing as hard as they do, and going on to some great, great universities. You know, what a lot of people don't know, our wrestlers have gone to we've had at least seven wrestle at the University of Pennsylvania, at least seven wrestle at Cornell.
Uh-huh.
We've had a young man wrestle at Harvard. We've had three wrestle at Columbia.
Uh-huh.
We've had three wrestle at Brown University.
Uh-huh.
So the one school that the Ivy that does not that has wrestling that we haven't sent one to is Princeton. We're trying to get one to go to Princeton now. In the Big Ten, we've had St. Ed wrestlers at every Big Ten school, not including Nebraska, who just joined, except for Purdue. Only Purdue.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing that our kids have gone all over and had quite an education. A lot of them gone to Division III schools, have wrestled there. That's great. We're going to have a 55th reunion of St. Edward Wrestling in the last Saturday of September this year.
That's September of 2013.
Yes. And it was put together or thought of, and our marching orders was from Mr. Kabaki, who said, you need to celebrate wrestling.
The president of the school.
Yeah, who played football at St. Ignatius and left-hand quarterback for Harvard, says, you need to celebrate wrestling. He says, you've got such an unbelievable tradition. So it was his idea. It was his mandate to get it done. So we've been working on this for a year. We've had a committee. We would meet in a great big U and bounce ideas off of each other. And it was pretty amazing. I'm just watching and listening to these great, great guys that we have on this committee to put together this great event that we're going to have. And it was really neat. As a matter of fact, that I get tears in my eyes thinking about it. The common statement, the common thought was to celebrate the sport, not to celebrate individual accomplishments in the sport, not to pat guys on the back for being three, two, one-time state champs, not to pat guys on the back for being NCAA All-Americans or NCAA champs, not to pat the robot for being our first Olympian. It's to celebrate the sport of wrestling, the kids that took the challenge of going into the sport, regardless of what they accomplished. And it was beautiful. I mean, talking about pure, we've got guys, the people that were saying that were Coach Heffernan, Sam Nider, Greg Olinsky, four-time All-American. They want this great big meal, this great big banquet to, we'll have paraphernalia there so they could take a look and see, you know, reflect on the past. But it's about a gathering of men that have competed, men that have put their foot on the line and competed in this unbelievable sport. Win or lose, it doesn't make a difference. Whether they were state champs or whether they were second string, it doesn't make a difference. They don't even want that brought up. It probably to most people, they would say, what? But it was so neat, it was so pure, listening to these great wrestlers say, no, it's about the sport, what the sport gave us. And what the sport gives them is, they're putting their foot on the line. They're taking responsibilities for their actions. If they win, it's because they prepared pretty well. If they lost, maybe they didn't prepare as well as they could. Or if they did, the other guy was better. They take responsibility for what they got, what they accomplished or didn't accomplish. And where in life is it as much as in wrestling to take responsibility for your actions? Wow. So what a celebration that's going to be. They just want to get together and gab about their times together. They want to gab about their families and what's going on in their lives. It's going to be a heck of a celebration.
By the way, that will be here in September of 2013 at La Center, the very, very nice party center in Westlake. They can handle about 500 people in the big room out there. This is going to be a colossal celebration.
Yeah, I believe there's around 700 of our alumni that have wrestled.
Really?
We'd love to put 700 in there.
And you can't get them in there. Room's not big enough.
You know, going back from Coach Figler's days, in the late 50s.
Yes. And Bob Livingston was the first state place.
Yeah, it took third.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow.
Retired from the Cleveland Police Department.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes. Wow.
He has a nice family tradition himself. His grandfather was the Indians catcher in 1901, Paddy Livingston.
Jeez.
Yes. Well, this is you've done a lot to continuing this tradition. St. Ed's, everybody at St. Ed's is very grateful for what you've done and very proud of you. So, by the way, let's go back to when you were a lieutenant in the Marines. Were you in Vietnam?
No. I got out of college in 73 and went into, I was in the PLC program, so I went to Quantico for six weeks in 71 and 72, those summers.
Yes.
I graduated in 73, went in October of 73 mm-hmm. into the Marine Corps at the basic school in Quantico, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And that's 6 months for brand new lieutenants. Then I traveled to Fort Sill for 3 months, artillery school there. Then I went to Okinawa for 16 months mm-hmm. with 312, 3rd Battalion, 12th Marines. It was artillery regiment, artillery battalion. I was in Mike Battery. And then I came back and I was finished off back at Quantico, Virginia in the training support company. So 3.5 years went like lightning, went fast.
Mm. Did you like the Marines?
It was amazing. It was amazing. People from every region of the United States, every race, creed, color, people that were dirt poor to people that had money, it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Everybody was a Marine. It was really cool. Tremendous, I mean, people that were big time heroes that acted just plain normal. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they would wear their greens with their ribbons, I was just shocked mm-hmm. by some of these guys, you know. Mm-hmm. I served with men that fought in Korea and Vietnam, mm-hmm. and I just really held them in awe. They were very humble men that were sure of themselves. They were humble, mm-hmm. but you knew they had been through hell. And they're very caring. As tough as they are, it's a brotherhood. They care for the private first class to all the way up, and that's the way they teach you in the Marines. You better take care of the men below you. That is your job. That is your job. You got to train them, and you got to look out for them. You got to take care of them.
And, see, now this is the symmetry of your life, isn't it? You were with a brotherhood in the Marines, and now your wrestlers at St. Ed's. That's also like a brotherhood. It seems to be the same mentality, that Semper Fi mentality.
Yeah, it is. You watch our wrestlers, and they do that. They have an appreciation for one another. And especially if a kid's a state champ, state place, or a kid's a pretty darn good kid on our team, he can relate, or he relates well with a young man that doesn't have nearly the talent that busts his tail in the room. There is a respect that is really common among wrestlers. There's a lot of respect because they know somebody's putting it on the line. And I think it's taught all over the country, all over the world, to respect one another. I mean, they compete hard against each other, but they respect someone to put their foot on the line and go after it.
I don't see as many cauliflower ears today. That's because the helmets are good.
Headgear.
There was a time, I think this might still be true today, that the cauliflower ear was a badge of honor among wrestlers.
Right. We have some that have it because they'd rather wrestle without their headgear. Uh-huh. The worst I ever saw was the Japanese team that came in to wrestle against
really?
Us. I think they had the whole vegetable garden. It wasn't just cauliflower.
No.
It was unbelievable. This team came in from a traveling team from Japan. Coach Hada set it up. And they spent a half a day at school with white shirt, blue tie, blue blazer, and cauliflower ear. And they went to school a half a day at St. Ed's on a Friday. We wrestled them Saturday. And the ears were gnarled. They were so deformed. It was unbelievable. And our kids were in shock. All you can see, the regular kids.
Uh-huh.
I mean, our wrestlers were in shock. You should have seen the student body. They're going, do you see that?
I know it.
Well, I can't give you the name, but this is a true story. They're heavyweight. Uh-huh. Looked like the guy from, what's the name of that James Bond thing?
The guy
that had the hat.
What was that guy's name? I forget his name, but I can remember him.
Just a real block. Uh-huh. And well, this kid looked like he was the heavyweight. I wanted to recruit him to stay here and play tight end for us. This kid was brutal.
Oh.
Well, his ears looked, if you put two or three of your knuckles together, that's what his ears looked like. They were bad. And they were busting our heavyweight at the time, saying, you're going to get your fanny kicked. Because our kid was a little bit
soft,
a little bit arrogant. Our heavyweight.
Oh, arrogant.
Yeah, I guess he thought he was
arrogant.
Pretty good. Yeah, he was a little bit arrogant.
Okay.
Well, they saw this kid and they started razzing our guy, saying, "You're gonna get your tail kicked." Well, as it turned out, he did.
He did.
He got thumped.
Oh.
See, this was a traveling team of all stars from Japan. And I guess the kids had they for a day were just chirping in our guy's ears saying, no, you're gonna get thumped.
Oh, geez.
And he got thumped. And I asked him after the match, I said, were you a little bit intimidated from what all our kids were saying? Say, yeah, that kind of played into it. So, so there's something about mind over matter. You know, there's times that you got to clear it. Close your ears to criticism and you know, just go on and wrestle.
I've noticed this at big tournaments like NCAA tournaments. The wrestlers, college wrestlers in particular, they're walking around the arena showing. I mean, it's as though they're showing off their ears. Yeah.
Well, you can sure tell. You can sure tell he's a wrestler. When
yes,
you check
the higher you go, you see, whoa, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Greg, this has been a lot of fun talking to you. And of course, our viewers and listeners can dial more of these stories up right on the Cleveland Public Library website, and if they want to hear some of your stories again. But how about any your most magical moment or your first magic moment in this illustrious career? Anything stick out in your mind?
Well, a lot of things do. Many things do. From when I was coaching freshmen for 11 years, I mean, there was just...
You were taking raw kids?
They weren't quite raw because we had a great CYO program at the time. But I remember going to a tournament, and this kid was giving the bad eye to one of our wrestlers, who happened to be John Heffernan.
Oh!
And he was staring at him.
John Heffernan.
And John's looking at him. John's real tall, lanky, all arms, all legs. They called him Colt back then because he was like a newborn Colt. This guy's looking at him, staring at him, and then he would run to the bleachers and bang his head against the bleachers to get... Yeah, this was the opponent that John had to wrestle. And I won't forget this. And John said, I got to wrestle that guy. I said, John, I said, you're a great wrestler. Just wrestle him. I said, that's not going to get him any points. I think he's a little overboard. Just wrestle him. And then John, I think, probably ended up pinning him or something like that. But that was fun.
John pinned him.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he did. But it was funny. I mean, this guy was like a whack job. You know?
That was on the freshman team.
It was on the freshman team.
Do you remember what school that kid was from?
Somewhere down south.
Oh.
And it was, I didn't want to tell John, that kid freaked me out. But I said, go get him, John. You can do it. Oh. And John did it. I'm going, better him than me. Jeez, man.
Jeez. Well, now, a lot of these kids come from a culture that isn't St. Ed's. For example, I think of Alan Freed. He came from where?
Beechwood.
Yeah, yeah. Comes over here. A nice Jewish kid from Beechwood comes into St. Ed's. And I can remember doing a story on him when I was at Channel 8. We walked down a hallway, and I put my arm around his shoulder, and I said, what's a nice Jewish kid like you doing in a school like this? And we laughed about it. And so these kids come from various cultures, and they all seem to fit in, huh?
Yeah. St. Edward has been known... And it's because of Brothers Holy Cross is we have hospitality is one of our charisms over there. We open the doors. We're a very welcoming community. We can talk to parents that have visited different schools, and they will say that the most welcoming school that they've been in was St. Edward High School. Is St. Edward High School? That's taught to us, and that's what we want to be. Very welcoming. Come on in. Be part of us, and you don't have to fit a specific mold. You know. Enjoy the school. Get the most out of school. Mm-hmm. Push yourself academically, spiritually, athletically, arts, or in the arts, or in our robotics program. Yeah. Jeez, our trash talkers. There's a place for everybody there.
And the trash talkers, they beat trash cans like drums.
Yes.
They are fun to watch. Yes. Now, kids seem to on their own. You don't recruit every one of these kids, do you? A lot of them come from faraway places. It's like this program is sort of like your wrestling program is sort of a magnet for wrestlers.
I think it works both ways. Uh-huh. Some want the challenge and want to come to St. Edward High School and want to compete. There are other ones that are shy and say, geez, we don't think we can ever break the lineup.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It works both ways.
And you have to convince a kid, yes, you do have a chance?
Well, there's something called hard work, and anywhere you go, it's going to have to be super hard work to achieve your dreams, whatever your dreams might be. Mm-hmm. So we point out that we got an unbelievable staff, and we'll have an unbelievable, we'll challenge you with an unbelievable schedule, and, We will help you as much as we can.
Okay, I remember one kid came in from Toledo. We laughed about that.
Yes,
didn't we? Oh, yeah. So anyway, and yeah, they rented an apartment in Rocky River, and the father actually commuted every day to Toledo to work?
Yes.
The father did the commute?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gee, you should have had a fundraiser to pay his turnpike tolls. You didn't, I know.
No, we didn't.
Okay, that's it. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Here at the Cleveland Public Library. Come on down and check out our sports research room. Okay, thanks, Greg.
Thank you.